The Word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, the joints and the marrow. It's a critic of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. All Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We continue this evening in the study of the doctrine of pride. Page 3 of our notes. All right, remain truly humble before God in phase 2. It demands that we're in fellowship. Through the rebound technique, we are able to deal with our personal sin in life, which puts us under the rulership of the sin nature, a form of arrogance in regards to our operation of life. With rebound, 1 John 1:9, we overrule the sin nature. We place God the Holy Spirit in His proper position and rulership over the real you. And in this way, we can serve God under the umbrella of God's righteousness. And in regards to having the spiritual mechanics necessary in order to understand God's Word, first and foremost, under inhale faith, so that we can then go out with exhale faith and apply His Word and therefore glorify God in this fashion. It's this way that the believer priest serves God in time, fulfills God's plan for their life, engages in the maturity adjustments, spiritual advance, and maximizes their divine glory for all eternity, as well as glorifying God in this fashion. So, that in mind, that's our practice, that's our goal in regards to our phase 2. So, once again this evening, we'll give you opportunity to make sure you're in fellowship as we start with a normal word of prayer. Father, again, we thank you for your perfect plan. We thank you for your presence of your being in regards to your omnipresence, that you are in all aspects of our life. Therefore, you know always what's going on in regards to your person and your attribute of omniscience, and therefore are prepared for every aspect of our lives so that we can do what is right, and you prepare for us the way in order through your will, in order for us to serve you in this capacity. We ask you to bless us once again this evening in our understanding of the issues at hand, albeit God the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Pride. Term not unaccustomed in regards to our society and its employment. Sin pride is simply a device to feed the human ego in an insubordinate and inordinate way, in substitute for God and Bible doctrine. Sin pride has a counterpart to it in all aspects, and it looks to one's acquisitions, accoutrements of life, one's successes, relationships, other physical things, in order for one to feel good about oneself and to be able to, if you will, flaunt themselves before others. As you can see, it spiders out and absorbs many other aspects of the SCA, such as approbation, power, greed, things of this nature in regards to one's life. Satan, that was his original sin, his pride was in his appearance. He obviously facilitates all the counterfeits of life in order to appeal to the sin nature, which there's probably not another created entity in the angelic realm, as well as human realm, that understands the function of sin nature any better than Satan. He's a genius at it. And he knows how to go in and get people's attention away from God, away from Bible doctrine, and keep it away, and place their attention on their own self, and in that way, self-exalt themselves, to be something truly better than what they are before God. As if our accomplishments, successes in life means anything apart from being humble before God and application of Bible doctrine and serving God in this capacity. No matter what one may be, whether or not what they are counts to any blessing for them in their afterlife is dependent upon them being in fellowship and following the adjustments to the justice of God otherwise in regards to their lives and doing things in fellowship. Obviously, there are misconceptions, false ideas that are constantly promoted in regards to the Christian world through denominationalism, fundiism, and things of this nature, because certain people attain to certain successes in life as believers, that somehow now they're special before God and they have all these great rewards awaiting them in their phase three, such as military success, things of this nature. Well, guess what? Alexander the Great has probably no competition regards to military success, yet he died and goes to hell. See? So what good does these things do you, truly? And it's not to diminutize men and their desires and aspirations and professions and things of this nature, but to keep all this stuff in balance, recognizing that God is ultimately always behind all that goes on in this world, behind what we do, involved in our lives in that regards. And that success is apart from the implementation of God's plan in one's life and not in violation of it accomplishes nothing other than phase two glory, our glory in time, which will, unfortunately for most believers, be their shame in eternity. So this whole idea of rank and file in regards to people's positions in life and things of this nature somehow makes them better. We know Bible doctrine lays that to rest. It shows that the type of attitude to be false. The apostles, the majority of them, were not Dr. Luke. Were not the Pharisee of Pharisees. Majority of them were, as we would say, blue-collar workers. Fishermen, carpenters, things of this nature. If profession was so important, why didn't Jesus go out and be some high counselor in regards to life in and of itself? So, again, Bible doctrine shows us the light in the midst of the darkness, and our society constantly pumps those things in life, and for people to become proud about so that Satan's behind this, so that people remain distracted and uninterested in those things that really matter in regards to one's life, and that is there's more to life than being here on planet Earth in phase two in time, that there is eternal life and all that is associated with that after the fact. All right, so again, as we know, our society, everything's about pride anymore. You deserve a break today. All these things. People, the advertising industry has definitely got a handle on people's STAs, I can tell you that much. They know what makes it tick. They know how to stimulate it and bring it out so that they pursue and go after their products in many cases. Some of them are just idiots. But anyway, Roman numeral 5, we're dealing here with some characteristics that you find in regards to those who are prideful or proud. As we saw, it is a pitfall or snare of the devil. Again, he is the genius behind promoting things in the world, giving the SCA what it so hungrily feeds and wants, feeds on and wants in regards to things in life. And it does not make the believer immune, does not let the believer be immune in regards to these things, even in academia, even with the aspect, if you will, of acquiring Bible doctrine in one's life. As the potential pastor candidate may acquire some doctrine, some training, and the 1 Timothy 3:6 admonition not to send them out too early without proper training, without proper time and grade to evaluate, and then sitting as a sheep, as a believer in life in and of itself for a while. Otherwise, they become self-deceived and deluded in regards to the doctrine that they have and the position they then acquire spiritually in the royal chain of command, and become fall under pride in that regards, and then fall according to Satan's trap as he might involve himself to appeal to that pastor's weaknesses in this regards. So it's a snare of the devil, even among those who may be associated with doctrine otherwise. Be it personifies or exemplifies Satan's world, known as Cosmos Diabolicus. See, it personifies false teachers and others that promote false doctrine. Many people fall under, again, intellectual pride. Then the ability to manipulate. People go to church and they put their trust in an individual to give them the proper information and direction and guidance of life. Supposedly this is what God wants for you. And you look around you, you see the influence that people in those kind of positions in the ministry have over others. See, and false teachers, they take whatever thing that they find their pride in to self-absolve them and pass it on to others for them. To also fall into the same muck of human viewpoint otherwise. D, that's where we left off. It drives negative volition under human viewpoint. Habakkuk 2:4. Again, balance in life. Balance in the Christian life. not let things in life inordinately draw you away from your spiritual priorities. To accomplish this or accomplish that, as we saw in James, to go out and make money for a year and become wealthy, using whatever rationale one may do. And I'll be back, and James says, idiot, you don't know whether you'll be alive tomorrow. And you're going to leave Bible doctrine? Habakkuk 2:4. Behold, as for the proud one, his soul is not right within him. Their soul is twisted. Their volitional determination in life is incorrect. See. What the soul chooses to think and do and pursue in life is not in line with God and His plan. But the righteous will live by His faith. That's faith exercised into passive faith. That's Bible doctrine. See? So, I've got to get this degree. I've got to have this training. I've got to do this, do that. I've got to relocate here, whatever. See. At the expense of doctrine. To be successful. These things drive people. And they are operating under a sin nature, using human viewpoint, rationale. Compare 1 Samuel 2:3. Boast no more so very proudly in Hannah's prayer. Do not let arrogance come out of your mouth, for the Lord is a God of knowledge, and with Him actions are weighed. To brag, boast in regards to, again, one's accomplishments, what I've figured out, or things of that nature. We are not to go that direction. We are to always recognize God in the picture, giving God credit for all that goes on in our life, even the smallest of things. It may seem, second nature in some things that we do in life because we may do things a lot. But still, it pays to thank God that He blesses you in doing these things. Mowing the lawn. Guess what? I didn't cut my toe off. Thank you, God. He held back the rain so I could mow the lawn. Thank you, God. Yeah. Lawnmower worked. Oh, really? Thank you, God. Yeah. These things that most people just blow off, like God's not interested and involved at this level of their life at all. That's a challenge for us. That's part of what it means to pray without ceasing. See. As many times as you've had to call people on your job and deal with certain situations, it behooves you to get in fellowship and ask God to bless you, at least, in the things you say. Excessive drinking provides a platform for pride to expose itself, i.e., being drunk. When one drinks, we understand that one's inhibitions will usually fall to the side in many different areas. And things come out that being sober, they probably would have thought twice about before they said it. That's verse 5 of Habakkuk. Furthermore, wine betrays the haughty man. Bragging about SCA accomplishments and things of this nature. You've been around people that party a lot, whatever. You probably have seen it, if not involved in it, in our own selves on occasion. I'm not speaking for everyone. So that he does not stay at home, he enlarges his appetite like shale. He is like death, never satisfied. He also gathers himself all nations and collects himself all peoples. People get drunk, they think they're meaner or badder than what they really are, often. I can kick your butt. Dude, you can't even stand up. It is part of the unbeliever's method of operation, their MO in life. For the unbeliever, pride definitely drives them to be successful. We're constantly driven to be successful. Our society is hell-bent on trying to convince people that in order to be successful, you got to go to school. Go to this school and go to that school. Let them get your money and then go under and somebody's got all that money and the school folds and you're left hanging with no credits. I know people that's happened to. Well, there's a place for education. I'm not saying there's not, but again, the balance. Romans 1:30. regards to unbelievers, the SCA predilections that you will consistently see from them, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, and boastful, all elements of pride. Inventors of evil, schemers, disobedient to parents. G, pride begins in the mental attitude. That's where all sin begins. But it begins with a thought. Mark 7, 21 through 23. For from without, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, fornication, thefts, murders, adulteries, deeds of coveting, works of coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. These things defile the man. This cause their the sin nature. Out of the heart shows it comes and emanates from one's mental attitude. H, it is worn by the evil wealthy. Psalm 73:6. They clothe themselves in pride. Verse 1, surely God is good to Israel, but to those who are pure in heart. But as for me, my feet came close to stumbling, turning aside, going into reversionism, getting out of their SCA. Here, the believer Asaph has written this song. My steps had almost slipped, for I was envious of the arrogant. This is why you get your eyes on people around you. And look what they have and you don't, see. That kind of idea. Well, maybe I'll look at what you have, they don't. You have Bible doctrine, yes, and it's worth more than gold, silver, and precious stones in this physical world. I was envious of the arrogant, and I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no pains in their death, and their body is fat, not starving to death, have good treatment, can go to the best doctors. All these other things. Body is fat means that they eat really good. Plump bodies in the old days was a sign of wealth. They are not in trouble as other men because their money buys them out of trouble. Nor are they plagued like mankind. All the other common human problems that those without money may face, they are able to utilize their wealth to overcome these things often. Therefore, pride is their necklace. They wear their accomplishments, monetary accomplishments in life, as their glory, see. The garment of violence covers them. Often those who attain to such levels of prosperity, you'll find that their hands are not clean, even in regards to lives of others. People rise into power. How often do you hear the stories? The associations with criminals and other things in order to get ahead. So don't worry about the people next door. The idea of trying to keep up with the Joneses, that's no more than a human viewpoint designed to keep you disoriented, unsatisfied, maladjusted in regards to your niche. You have all the prescriptions. God provides everything so that you don't have to get into those kind of modes. Prayer, Bible doctrine, fellowship with other positive volition. Of course, if you don't do those things, then fine. I, it leads to contempt and rejection of the Bible doctrine and its teachers. Part of the hazards of the ministry. People have some preconceived idea often in regards to what they say the Bible teaches and means. Maybe they heard it from someone else. And want to take issue with the teaching. Psalm 31:18, let the lying lips be dumb. That means stupid. It means silent. Quit lying, which speak arrogantly against the righteous with pride and contempt. Those who reject doctrine gain issues in regards to the communicators, those God's put in charge over them, things of that nature. A lot of times they just can't walk off and say, okay, I'm not interested anymore, and go do their thing. No, they got to lash out. See. And often it comes out with exaggerations of their perceptions or what they claim in regards to the church, people in it, and things of this nature. Lies, see. Jeremiah 13:9-10. Thus says the Lord, just so will I destroy the pride of Judah and the great pride of Jerusalem. This wicked people will refuse to listen to my words. Why they're under pride? Because they've tuned out Bible doctrine to whatever level. Obviously, this has taken a big toll on them nationally. Who walk in the stubbornness of their hearts, their determined negative volition, determined intellectual spirit of the world that they've now adhering to, and have gone after other gods to serve them. They've created and manufactured their own little sacred cows in life that are more important than Bible doctrine. See? They're more important than Bible class. They're more important than functioning of their spiritual gifts. They're more important than serving God in fellowship, growing up spiritually, making the adjustments, all these things, see. To serve them, to bow down to them. The extremes that people will go to achieve their alternatives to Bible doctrine. See, that's bowing down to them. They'll give up and sacrifice great other chunks of their life otherwise in order to attain to their human viewpoint, STA pursuits. Being in Bible class 4 hours a week, that's too much. That's a big burden. We'll give you money for gas. It's no biggie. Let them be just like this waistband, which is totally worthless. The waistband clings to the waist of man, so I made the whole household of Israel and the whole household of Judah cling to me. The waistband holds up your britches, see. It girds your loins, things of this nature. Jeremiah 43:2.
But it came about, verse 1, as soon as Jeremiah, whom the Lord their God had sent, had finished telling all the people all the words of the Lord their God, that is, all these words, that Azariah the son of Hoshai and Johanan the son of Kareah and all the arrogant men said to Jeremiah,
the ones who took issue with the prophet. See, the arrogant men, they know better.
You are telling a lie. The Lord our God has not sent you to say you're not to enter Egypt to reside there.
In contradiction to the doctrine he's instructed to communicate, they had their own agenda. You hear it all. The Bible doesn't teach separation. The Bible doesn't teach that. Blah, blah, blah. Even though, for us, we can pull out the book and say, look, it says right here. Arrogance, pride in their own deluded intellectual fantasies in life. Just so that they can have their own emotions stroked and feel good about themselves. J, it promotes persecution of the less fortunate.
So pride in the world brings about additional issues and hazards and sufferings upon those who do not have great wealth and things of this nature. Now, that's the idea. Psalm 10, 2. Why do you stand afar, O Lord? Why do you hide yourselves in times of trouble? That's what it may seem like on the surface, as criminals and other schemers and deceivous types go out and it seems like they're getting away with everything. Where's God at here? Why God, aren't you out there just killing them right and left? God has a plan. Don't worry. He'll deal with it at His own good time when He determines. It's not up to us. In pride, the wicked hotly pursue the afflicted. That's their victims. Let them be caught in the plots which they have devised. Whether it be to do physical harm, economic harm, health harm. We got an institution today that is all about hurting people's health so that they can make money. It's called the pharmaceutical industry. You know, that class of academia that early on, even though they began many universities studying natural means for pharmaceutical or prescription needs, started buying out all these schools so they could implement their own man-made pharmaceutical ideas and means of treating illnesses. Do your history, and you'll see these things. Not up here just yanking your chain over it. It's there, and now they control it all. So, you know, that's all right. God knows. You tell me it ain't about money. Pay them what they want. Oh, we have the one cure. That's going to cost you the rest of your life and everybody else's lives around you to pay for it. See? I was always told that the Hippocratic Oath was that you never gave your patient anything that knowingly would ever harm them. You take this now. It's going to turn you inside out. You're going to turn purple. People are going to think you're a Smurf. You know, your elbows are going to be out of joint and all this other stuff. You know, potential hazards. Oh, well. Yeah, I understand the logic. Well, you know, for some people that's better risk than the others. Well, that's what you're stuck with because, you know, any other aspect is basically beaten down because there's no profit in it. It's all about the money. It's always all about the money in the business world. It's never been less than that. The only real doctor I've ever seen that truly ever did anything not about the money in healing people was one person. Guess who that was? Okay, it personifies negative volition and evil in general. And this isn't, you got to understand, people know me, I'm not against doctors per se. Not everybody falls into this ilk. I'm talking about the industry. The mainline approach that's being trying to shove down society's throats in our country, if not all over the world. So, don't anybody take offense. Not that they would. It personifies negative volition and evil in general. I'm glad for doctors. I've had good doctors. Then I've had some that I don't care to see anymore either. But, you know, that's the way it is in every world. That's the way it is in ministry. I've had a good pastor, and I've had a lot of pastors I just don't care to ever listen to again. You know, that's life. Okay, it personifies a negative volition and evil in general. It paints their character, if you will. Psalm 40, verse 4. But these are things that most of us can relate to living in the time in which we live. My examples. For how blessed is a man who has made the Lord his trust and has not turned to the proud, nor to those who lapse into falsehood. Those who have alternatives to sound Bible doctrine in life. See. You put your trust in God. He put you here, close to Cleveland if you're not in Cleveland, with me, whatever the hell that guy is, and you trust God. People in this church, I think, probably have about as much ability to appreciate that as any other church I know. Because I've seen them do it. They've done it in the past. Okay, this is what God dealt us. We trust God. We're not disbanding. We're not folding out, cashing in, splitting up. No. God will take care of us. And I pray to God on that care for you. That's my desire. Spiritually speaking. Job 35:12. Verse 9, because of the multitude of oppressions, they cry out. They cry for help because of the arm of the mighty. But no one says, where is God, my maker, who gives songs in the night, who teaches us more than the beasts of the earth, who makes us wiser than the birds of the heaven. Whatever nature can teach you, God's wisdom, what He is able to inform us with, goes over and beyond that. Whatever science you want to pick out, physics, mathematics, medicine, whatever, Bible doctrine, the wisdom that comes out of Bible doctrine, far surpasses that in regards to its magnitude of what it enables the individual to become and to accomplish in their life. There they cry out. But He does not answer because of the pride of evil men. People of oppression, unfortunately, the help that is needed that God could provide, men are turning to their own inventions and resolutions to solve the problems rather than turning to the truth of Bible doctrine and God and letting Him bless them in regards to things that bring about healing, help, and things of this nature, if you get my drift. Man goes after his own mechanisms, and he disregards God. We'll find a cure for AIDS. But otherwise, we're going to disregard God and the issue of homosexuality, which this vice has helped introduce this disease into the world and continues to propagate it. Let's see. And come up with one cure. God. Watch this. Now try this one. That's the deal. That's the issue. It's in the nature of man. We can fix our own problems. Oh, we're doing a damn good job. L, positive volition, holds the proud in contempt. If you want to have sanctified contempt in regard to someone, it's in regards to their human viewpoint, STA, pride. Psalm 123:3. Verse 3, be gracious to us, O Lord. Be gracious to us. That's the call of the positive adjusted believer. A God, grace me out. That's what we say. Grace me out, God. Grace me out. Every day is essentially the attitude, whether it's spoken or not. You know, grace me out, God, because the positive adjusted believer recognizes that their life lies in the hands of God as an imperfect being. See? And what a catastrophe or thing could befall them at any time. For we are greatly filled with contempt. This occasion is regards to give us grace because we see the evil around us. And we have contempt for those who are unrighteous and hostile to you, God. We hold them in contempt. See. Our soul is greatly filled with the scoffing of those who are at ease and with the contempt of the proud. So, righteous indignation brings about righteous contempt in regards to those who are evil in this world. Those who boast in their accomplishments of life apart from Bible doctrine, and then turn right around and scoff at those who are in line with Bible doctrine. Ever stop and think about in resurrection body how you'll think when you are a party at the great white throne judgment and you watch all those believers march before our Lord and Savior and be condemned to eternal lake of fire? What's the attitude going to be? Remember, our thoughts are not God's thoughts in a lot of ways. It's just like the thought of our country being nuked in 1 hour, one day. The world in general, the cosmos, oh man. Those poor people. Well, guess what? In the heavens, they're rejoicing. Because they hold Babylon in contempt. See? Contempt of court. And they deserve their judgment in that regard. So, again, that balance. Bestow grace upon us. Don't let us get wrapped up in it, God. Get under sin, anger ourselves. Do something stupid. But to maintain the proper balance of justice that you have set forth and laid out for us in order to evaluate, critique things, people, situations around us. To do it in line with your absolute righteousness and justice in that regard. So, that's an interesting one. Psalm 101:5. It's kind of like how a person may respond to someone who peels out a Bible doctrine. On one end, it makes you sad. On the other end, sometimes it makes you angry as hell. Why? Stupid. Well, there's you an idea of what the psalmist is getting at. Psalm 101:5. Whoever secretly slanders his neighbor, him I will destroy. No one who has a haughty look and an arrogant heart will I endure. Selfishly ambitious. And that's God speaking. So, recognizing that God's justice indeed is just and right. And if God holds him in contempt, so do we. If they're an enemy of God, then they're our spiritual enemy too. So, that's how you keep your thinking straight. To think Bible doctrine. In the proud seek to persecute positivism and interrupt their spiritual momentum. Again, the idea of persecution, oppression. Psalm 140, verses 4 and 5. Prayer here of David. Obviously, David as a king is a standard by which all other kings are critiqued in Israel. But he had an SDA. He wasn't perfect. He messed up big time. More than once in his life. Even though he made some great applications along with it. And obviously, over Operation Bathsheba, some divine discipline he came under, people would take advantage of that. Those who did not like a king that otherwise, here he is, he's standing for righteousness as a ruler of Israel. You can imagine, he's probably one of the few kings that imposed the Mosaic law as it should have been. It's one of the reasons why he would be a standard for all the other kings. He became, you're hostile to your parents, stone them. People don't like that. But anyway, Psalm of David, he recognized his enemies. And he had a lot of them, both within his circles as well as outside. 140, verse 4, keep me, O Lord, from the hands of the wicked. Preserve me from violent men. And David's no wimp. And he's still praying this. He knows how men can be. Who have purpose to trip up my feet, as the New American Standard translates it, to interfere with his own spiritual momentum in seeking to apply Bible doctrine and God's plan for his life. Otherwise, is the idea. The proud have hidden a trap for me in cords. They have spread a net by the wayside. They have set snares for me. People intentionally coming in and trying to catch him in something that they can then take and turn against him. Either in the face of others or through actual reason to kill, things of this nature. See, the capability of the SGA, don't ever become complacent in regards to recognizing what it is capable of. Obviously, we see over and over what it's capable of. But even in regard to ourselves. So David's prayer is consistently there to protect him, to be his rock. How many times many of us have probably been protected in the past and will continue to be protected from situations like this, we'll find out only in phase 3. God interceding, doing something otherwise, so that we can maintain our own spiritual advance. Oh, it is an abomination to God and in the list of the seven worst sins. Well, this sin's the worst. No, this sin's the worst. Well, here's your seven worst ones. Proverbs 6, 16 through 19. There are six things which the Lord hates. Yes, seven, which are an abomination to Him. Haughty eyes, that's arrogance. A lying tongue, not speaking the truth. Hands that shed innocent blood, murderers. A heart that devises wicked plans, schemers. Deceitful schemers. Feet that run rapidly to evil. Gangsters. Druggies. Certain phallic sins. Any chance, opportunity, they're on their way. 19, a false witness who utters lies. And last but not least, and one who spreads strife among brothers to step in and create conflict among the fellowship of positive volition. That's in the list. Then verse 5, chapter 16, verse 5. Pride in the list. Everyone who is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. So the nanosecond that Satan underwent his own pride in regards to his appearance, he became an abomination to God. See? He personifies national reversionism. Evidence that our country is in reversionism. all the promotion of pride, Leviticus 26:19. Also break down your pride of power. We're the queen of heaven. Nothing can take us down. We're the mightiest and greatest nation on this planet. You don't like it, move somewhere else. Well, one time, we was probably in the top of the list. But we've sure gone a long ways from there now. And this is part of the five cycles of discipline that God promised Israel when a nation starts looking to itself rather than to God as their support and foundation for their success as a nation, military success and otherwise. Look out. For them, he says, I'll also make your sky like iron and your earth like bronze. He'll bring about lack of rain, drought, which messes obviously with food supply and other aspects of life. He'll cut them off at the shorts in regards to their own self-sustenance in that respect. Father, again, we thank you for the truth of your word. We ask God, the Holy Spirit, continue to light to see things in Jesus' name. Amen.